Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the killing of our seniors, a pandemic of depression. And it's as a result of the WHO, the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, and his sidekicks, as I call it, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, that are both on the payroll and coming out of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation that has an ulterior goal of global control, ulterior goal of reducing the global population. In fact, Bill Gates says the population is about 100 to 150 million too many people and needs to be reduced. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, very frankly, without it being stated in any memo, without it being stated in any email or telephone call or telegraph, I believe that's what we see taking place today with so many deaths, is the planned purpose in this pandemic of wiping out a large portion of the population. That's just me thinking. You can disagree if you like. Here's an article. I'm so confused. WHO says lockdowns backflip. Reports are wrong. But yet this article says Dr. Nabarro appealed to the world leaders yesterday, telling them stop using lockdowns as your primary control method of coronavirus. He also claimed that the only lockdowns, the only thing that lockdown achieved was poverty, with no mention of any potential of saving of lives. That's a profound dogmatic statement coming from one out of the World Health Organization, ladies and gentlemen. They're recognizing that their directive to the world was absolutely inadequate and absolutely incorrect. Here's an article that says, CDC says 85% of the COVID patients always or often wore masks. You know, we're in the masquerade today, even in Duval County, where our mayor has said that we need to continue to maintain wearing masks, even inside and outside. We need to wear a mask, as we're told by the governors and the mayors across America today. Never mind the fact that in the state of Florida, the governor is not given a mask mandate, but those that want to be somebody that has ulterior goals of being either senators or something of that nature on a national level, they're aspiring for a higher office, and as a result of that, they want it to appear that they're trying to help we the people. This article says 85% of COVID patients always or often wore masks. Here's the study. A study by the Center of Disease Control indicates that Americans are adhering to mask mandates, but they don't appear to have slowed or stopped the spread of the coronavirus at all. And further, mask wearing has negative effects. In its survey, the symptomatic COVID-19 patients, the CDC found 70.6% reported always wearing a mask. An additional 14.4% say they often wear one, investigative journalists stated. That means that 85% of infected COVID-19 patients reportedly were regularly wearing of a mask. Only 3.9% said they never wear a face covering. The study offers insight into the reality that tens of thousands of Americans are acquiring COVID-19 on a daily basis, despite the overwhelming ardent push to wear masks. And it counters the claim of the White House coronavirus member, Dr. Fauci, and others, that Americans are not following the CDC guidelines on wearing masks. This article states, ladies and gentlemen, something that I find that you have been told by this speaker on this broadcast for the past several months, the falsity and the phoniness of claiming that masks help in any way. The survey contradicts the claim that CDC Director Robert Redfield in recent hearings that a cloth mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine. A theoretical cognitive scientific researcher said this: the increase of rebreathing of expelled carbon dioxide with a mask, significant increase in respiration, increased respiratory rates and hyperventilation, increased heart rate, increased in CO2 in the blood. It also stated there's an abnormal decrease in the partial pressure of oxygen in the arterial blood veins, in the arterial blood. Also states there's an increase in pressure of the CO2 in the blood. General cognitive decline in those wearing masks. Greater difficulty in the psychomotor skills of wearing a mask. It also shows that the consensus prior to the COVID pandemic was that the effectiveness of mask wearing by the general public in slowing the spread of the virus is unproven, and there's evidence it does more harm than good. April the 6th, World Health Organization, for example, said the wide use of masks by healthy people in the community setting is not supported by any current or past evidence that carries uncertainties and certain risks. Just 2 months later, however, as the pandemic surged, the World Health Organization changed its stance without providing any evidence with any randomized controlled studies at all. On March 5th, the Centers for Disease Control said masks are usually not recommended in the non-healthcare setting. August the 7th, CDC said it recommends that people wear masks in public settings and when around people that do not live in the same household, especially when social distancing measures are not able to be maintained, and on and on and on. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, you have the World Health Organization, you have CDC that's now done a 100% about face in what they said that's brought about the hysteria, the panic, and the fear on the part of all Americans today as a result of their absolute erroneous information. In fact, here's an article that says CDC study says that 85% of COVID-19 cases in July were people that often or always wear a mask. A survey conducted by over a dozen medical institutions for CDC was published September the 11th in the Morbidity and Morbidity schedule on the weekly report. And it goes on with the documented information of 85% of those that contracted COVID-19 wore a mask either all the time or most of the time. The point that I make, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching what this article says was the perfect storm. This article that I'm looking at now says the perfect storm for depression in older adults. Listen carefully. This is where we want to go in this broadcast for the balance of the show today. And that is to point out the horrific result of this hysteria, this panic hysteria, this fear that's been perpetrated on America just because of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, Democratic Party wants to try to defeat President Donald J. Trump. That's the end result. That's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. I'm looking at an article that says the New York Times says experts are confident that the pandemic will be over sooner than later after the election, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, this article that I'm looking at says the perfect storm for depression in older adults. Bessie was the daily babysitter for her two younger grandchildren while her daughter, Cheryl, worked full-time. The kids kept her entertained, busy, physically active. Now with the shelter-in-place order, Cheryl keeps the children home with her, terrified that her mother might contract COVID-19. This has led to the unfortunate, unintended effect of leaving Bessie, a widow, completely isolated. Bessie has a history of depression, and now she finds the old fatigue, aches and pains, and depressed moods have returned. With much of the world shut down, loneliness has become a familiar facet of everyday life, especially for older Americans living by themselves or in nursing homes or retirement communities. Loneliness and isolation are serious health risks for the older adults. 43% of adults aged 60 or older in the United States of America report feeling lonely. It is reasonable to imagine this percentage has increased over the course of the pandemic with its shelter-in-place orders and restrictions even more stringent for the older adults in America. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to understand is that during the course of this, if you please, weaponized Wuhan, China virus pandemic, the states are in a position are placing restrictions on American citizens that we've never experienced before. We have this where you can't sing in church, you can't go to church, churches must be closed. Some states are still even fining citizens, threatening to put them in jail for opening their business. Millions of Americans are blindly following the mask mandate of their elected officials. As of today's date, ladies and gentlemen, we have had about 165,000 deaths due to depression, despair, and desperation. The lockdowns and the stay-at-home orders has caused suicide, drug overdose, and the domestic violence not seen in American history. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the suicides and the deaths as a result of depression and desperation and despair and because of drug overdose, because of the domestic violence in the homes as a result of shutdowns, the deaths from that is absolutely almost approaching the number of deaths by COVID-19 itself. But ladies and gentlemen, the tragedy of all tragedies, the tragedy of all tragedies is the COVID lockdown that's underreported and completely overlooked in the number of deaths as a result of depression and desperation in our nursing homes in America. We're told that approximately 55,000 deaths in nursing homes in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania alone in the early stages back in March, April, and May of this year in the tri-states in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York as a result of the governor's orders. It's killing the seniors by governmental executive orders, the governor's orders in those three states responsible for killing a minimum of 55,000 to 65,000 seniors in those centers that were forced there. In fact, here's an article that says, how many nursing home residents died of COVID in New York? We do not know, and we may never know, the article states, because they have fabricated the numbers, they have fixed the data, and they are refusing to give true information. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, says nursing homes and assisted living facilities account for 42% of COVID-19 deaths. The deaths caused by SARS-CoV-2 affects the elderly far more severely on average than the younger individuals. The article further states 42% of U.S. COVID deaths have occurred in nursing homes and assisted living facilities. In fact, some have reported, ladies and gentlemen, that as much as 50 to 55% of the deaths because of COVID took place as a result of being locked down in nursing homes. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says the crushing isolation of nursing homes during the pandemic. It is an extensive, massive article. I have just highlighted two or three paragraphs for the sake of time on this broadcast. Jenny Lutzel holds a photograph of her mother, Pamela Sprangle, 80 years old, outside her home in Rockwell on August the 6th, 2020. Lutzel has been allowed to touch her mother, who lives in a nursing home and suffers from Alzheimer's since March due to COVID-19. After 70 years of marriage, the coronavirus tore Margie and Wilner Starbaum apart. But Margie, who was positive for COVID-19, wasn't the one who died. It was Werner, of natural causes and maybe of loneliness himself. In early June, when 87-year-old Margie tested positive for the virus in the Cedar Park nursing home where they lived together, she was transferred to a different facility in nearby Round Rock to be isolated. When their granddaughter visited Werner during the period, she talked with him through a window. He was 88 years old with dementia, and he would simply point to his wife's empty bed, looking as if he didn't know what had happened and where she had gone. Part of the wonder, and the rest of my family wonders, did he think that she was already passed, said Bumpers, who is a nurse, and he just thought, it's time for me to go and be with her also. Some families, this article says, that wait is ending all state as the state rolls out its new rules to allow some visitation at certain nursing homes and assisted living facilities, but it remains unclear how many facilities can or will start allowing visitation, and some facilities say the damage to their loved ones from prolonged isolation has already been done, and it's too late, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article. No visitors leading to despair and isolation in senior home care. When Jan Thompson drops off a care package for a 95-year-old mother, about 8 feet of separation is required. It is the closest that we have been for a while. Her mom lives in Monte Vista Village in Lemon Grove. In March, she assisted an independent living facility, along with other long care centers, shuttered the visitors with the aim of keeping out COVID-19. Some facilities are staying in lockdown despite recent guidelines permitting outdoor or window visits at a minimum. A crop of families, doctors, and advocacy groups have advocated for expansion in visitation, citing isolation that can trigger a decline in the health of the elderly. Every week, this article says, every week, Thompson drives to Monte Vista Village, relaying cherry-filled packages to caregivers while her mother sits outside her door and waves. Thompson isn't allowed to get any closer or linger any longer. She tries to foster engagement with others, FaceTime, phone calls, and so forth. They'll do and see when the pandemic ends. She talks about the list of things they want to do and say after the pandemic is over. My mother never complains. She's of the old generation. She's a Texan, Thompson said, but she's now reflecting on our conversations. What is it to life anyway, she says. Except for the end-of-life situation, visitors largely haven't stepped foot in facilities during the entire pandemic. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis here.
Brother Davis, God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Everything is being very well explained, as you have put it on today. Many a times, you and I have tried to challenge the pastors now to come out of the closet from under the bed and challenge the things that are being put before us that are causing, you know, many churches to be shut down and some still have not restarted or come back out into assembling together as we should. So we may never see things go back to the norm as we saw them before. But on the other hand, Dr. Youngblood, we need not fear because God is still in control. We
Amen.
Have to remember also we're going to be held accountable for what we are not doing. And I'm reminded of that in the book of Matthew chapter 25. I was reading over that concerning when the Son of Man, it says here, shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Speaking about Jesus when he comes back. And it says here, just to cut it in short, he's going to set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, verse 34, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And he's just going to answer in short, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So, Dr. Youngblood, as far as the thing that's going on in the nursing home, how our elderly people are being abused, the church can do something about that, but we have to not be content with things as they are. We have a great duty to perform before Christ comes back. So we need to get busy getting this work done for Christ. So we can step in the gap. We can fill in between, because where we're living at right now, we're living in a generation, Dr. Youngblood, that's used to entitlement. They want everything free. Some of them don't even want to work. They don't even want a job. Much less talking about caring for individuals from their own families, even though the individuals that are the old people now gave up a good portion of their lives to take care of them. But they don't consider that, Dr. Youngblood. They don't have the love and concern like you and I had in our days growing up for our parents.
That's right.
So this
That's
is
right.
where the church, I would say, the church really needs to step in right now and pick up, you know, and go in and visit these people and minister unto them. Because if we don't get this work done, Dr. Youngblood, I'm mighty afraid on that day, a lot of them will be able to hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Your work was done in iniquity. And I don't think that's something that we none want to have to hear when we face the Lord. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Brother Davis, your insight. One of the things that I might simply put as a footnote to that, one of the major problems we find from the standpoint of pastors, preachers, Christians wanting to go in and help. I know in recent weeks, we've had one in our congregation that died while in the hospital, knowing that he was dying. I was not allowed to go in and see him, even as pastor. It's the first time in the history of America that we've seen where pastors are not allowed to go into a healthcare facility to visit a dying congregation member of the church. And I find it egregious when that is taking place, where the loved ones, the relatives are shut out, pastors are shut out, and not allowed to come in. Let me just, before we take our next caller, let me just read you something that was sent to me just recently in relationship to this. It's from an individual that has a mother in a nursing home. It says, what is happening to my mother is dehumanizing. She can't get her hair or nails cut. No human touch, no affection, no fellowship. It's worse than how one would treat even their favorite pet. She's getting care, yes. She's fed, But love, prayer, fellowship, and life, there isn't any of that. Only survival. It's dehumanizing, and it's very wrong. My mother's been in the nursing home since January the 28th of 2020 due to mobility and Parkinson's disease. However, during the quarantine, we have experienced many things that have been disappointing and heavy burden on our hearts. My mother has not been able to be outside or experience any fresh air or sunshine since a parade event at the nursing home back in May. My mother has not been outside at all in over 6 months. Her hair has not been cut since she arrived in January. Her toenails have not been cut or cleaned since January. It is now too painful for her to wear shoes. She can only wear her socks. She missed an important dental appointment because the nurse was too busy to get her outside in time for the transport. My emails asking for care, for a care plan, asking any question about my mother, goes unanswered. My phone calls are met with short, dismissive answers. I'm afraid to complain, to ask any more questions, for fear my mother may be bullied. Further, this writer says, because my mother doesn't occupy the outside window or this shared room, she can no longer receive window visits. In fact, there's no one in her town, even a relative, who even thinks to try to go by the window to visit. She receives no cards and very few, if any, calls. The nurses are understaffed, overwhelmed, and they have to wear full PPE gear all day long. And their patient level is very small. It's understandable, however, but they get to go home. They get to go out to eat. They get to go to church. They get to leave. My mother never gets to leave those four walls that she's confined in. That ought not to be in America. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. We lost our caller. Call back if you get a moment. That'd be wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the killing of our seniors in the nursing homes. Here's one that says, for seniors, COVID-19 sets off a pandemic of absolute despair. It's been really lonely, said Kathleen Conan, 77, who moved to Atlanta in July after selling a house in South Carolina. She's living on the 16th floor apartment while waiting to move into a senior housing community, which has had cases of COVID-19. I had thought that it would be a new community for me, she said, but everyone here is isolated. Wherever we go, we're isolated into this situation. And the longer it goes, the harder it becomes. Making it worse and worse, some seniors fear that their lives may be seen as expendable in the rush to reopen the country. Further, the article says, older adults have realized the course of being isolated has been going on for much too long for them, for anyone else, and sadness, loneliness, and some hopelessness set in. This woman had a tendency to be depressed already, but she was okay, Cassidy Engel said. Now she's incredibly depressed and feeling trapped and wanting to die. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, critics say lockdown will be more damaging than the virus itself. Experts say it's a false choice. Is the damage caused by the lockdowns worse than the virus itself? That's the question raised by some world leaders and commentators who claim the economic and social hardship caused by strict coronavirus restrictions places a heavier burden on society than the death rate caused by the disease. Hear that, ladies and gentlemen. These lockdown skeptics point to tens of millions of U.S. jobs lost in the economic turndown, not since the Great Depression. The warning by the European Commission of a recession of historic proportions and the Bank of England's fear that the British economy is facing its worst crash in three centuries. And it goes on to talk about that on a global basis. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that paints the picture even more clearly. Is extended isolation killing older adults in long care facilities? 5 months of COVID lockdown have created a mental health crisis. Helen is in July after rapid health decline during the COVID-19 lockdowns. Helen has been placed in hospice. In February, Lori Evans, mom was walking the equivalent of 4 blocks twice a day around her memory care facilities in Santa Cruz, California. She used a walker for support, Evans says, but her legs worked fairly well for someone who is 99 years old. Just a year ago, she was dancing with my daughter at a wedding. Evans says that her mother, Helen, but now she's fallen into the abyss. When the coronavirus pandemic hit, the U.S. sending long-term care facilities into lockdown, Helen was confined to the second floor of her complex where her room was located. For months, she was locked down. Her outdoor walk ceased, and so did her mobility. She became bedridden. Her mind, already battling dementia, deteriorated far quicker. In May, she was placed in hospice. In July, Evans brought her mother home to begin what she believed would be the final months of her mother's life because of depression and despair because of the lockdown. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll read from a brief blurb from another article. Minnesota eases lockdown on senior homes and allows visits by essential caregivers. Victoria Conrad got to spend an hour with her 99-year-old father, Howard Setzer, this article says, and it further states, for the first time in 4 months, families will be allowed to visit their loved ones inside senior care homes at Minnesota health authorities, cautiously lift the lockdown restrictions meant to prevent the spread. The Minnesota Public Health Department is recommending that nursing homes and assisted living facilities allow certain family members outside with caregivers, etc. Further, the article says, across the state, seniors have not hugged or kissed their loved ones for months now. Adult children have resorted to waving to their parents from a long distance and talking to them through cracks in the windows like visitors in some prison establishment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about killing our seniors in the pandemic that is caused this to take place in America. It is the pandemic of depression and despair, and as a result, that death is being increased across the nation in our nursing homes. Here's an article that says, at nursing homes where guests are barred because of the coronavirus, adult children talk to their parents through locked gates, through glass windows, as though jailhouse visits. They worry it may be months before they can hug each other again. Many families are debating whether their move to a frail loved one's outdoors and care for them at home. The mobility rate is shocking. Mortality rate is shocking. The article goes on to say, I'm concerned that the loneliness and hopelessness will kill our loved ones quickly than the virus, whose 95-year-old mother-in-law lives in a nursing home in Seattle and has remained untouched by the virus. I think of her as being by herself, just sitting in her home in a wheelchair, being trapped, just waiting to die. Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to be in America. I believe that it's time that we as Christians stand up, speak up. I believe it's time we contact the governor's office, the mayor's office, and demand that our loved ones be taken out of lockdown restriction, allow us to see them, touch them, hug them, kiss them while we yet have opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.